Oh, yeah. So glad you guys are in touch. Wilhelm and I having a lot of fun, keeping the energy up here in the Dog Bowl. We'll, of course, do it again tomorrow. We'll do it again Friday as a prelude to exactly what we've been talking about. The Browns looking to see if they can shed in a real hurry. And well, when you lose one like this, you know, the old saying is you can't wait till Sunday rolls around again. And make no mistake, that's exactly the type of situation the Browns are in. Sunday cannot get here soon enough to make amends for that loss against Jacksonville, which the one thing, Matt, that I did like about it before we get back to our callers is that I like the accountability. I like the responsibility. I like two leaders on this football team basically saying, we stunk, shouldn't have happened, can't happen, can't happen again, and we're going to make sure that our week of preparation goes out and doesn't allow this to happen again.
You're right. It was a huge reality check, and I do not believe that this locker room and this coaching staff were reading their own press clippings. That happens after, you know, 4, 5, 6 wins in a row, and we're not there yet. And even the comments of Jabal Sheard to say, hey, we've done nothing to let the league know that we're not that team yet that does that because of last week's letdown. So that is why I'm, as we make our predictions later in the week, that I actively feel that, you know, they will right this ship against the Oakland Raiders, not because they're 0-6 or 0-7, but because the Cleveland Browns want to make a point. And again, that goes back to imposing your will or having your way with the team.
Exactly. All right, you guys, we want your dialogue and your thoughts. That's what we do here. Let's get back at it. Let's hit. Is this enemy territory? Browns fan in enemy territory with the purple and black in Baltimore, Maryland. Here's Kurt on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing? And thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
But you're wrong. I'm a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. Have been since the 1950s, where my grandfather in Rochester, New York, where we used to have the good days back then, and then a few upturns with Brian Sipe, Bernie Kosar, but for the 2000 time period and even ends of the 90s, things have not been too good. I've heard a lot of good calls coming in, a lot of good statements, and I agree with most of them. I'd like to take a little bit of a different direction. I think we have a chance finally. I think we have an owner that gets it. I think we have an outstanding coaching staff that, just like the players, I think they need a little bit of time to gel. Remember now, this is a new offensive plan with a new offensive coordinator. We have a new defensive personnel, so everything is new. These poor kids must be going through hell, literally, trying to figure out all this stuff. So some of the people have said you expect to win, 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 win. Well, I'm on board with that, too. But I think you have to temper that with patience and give the team a little bit of a chance to grow. Will they make the playoffs this year? I certainly hope so. One more point.
Yes.
I don't know if Brian Hoyer is the long-term solution for the Browns. I'm not sure. I think give him a chance, see how he does. I'm not so sure about Manziel. If he doesn't grow up, I'm not really in the court that says he's the guy, give him a chance. If ever I was going to say give him a chance, it was in this last game when it was clear towards the end of the third quarter when the Browns could do absolutely nothing. And I'm like, if you don't put him in now and use his mobility and speed, if nothing else, we're going down in flames. So I really think since they have plays for him, why didn't they use him at that time? That would be my question.
All right, Kurt, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call. Maddie, about the mobility thing, see, that's one thing that I feel in watching Jacksonville. They took away one of the Browns' staple, which is getting to the edge in the run game in that, that zone read run game. One of the biggest staples this year is being able to set that edge, get to the edge, turn corners for Tate and Crowell. It wasn't there because that defense covered those 52 yards from sideline to sideline. I thought Jacksonville did a hell of a job with that. Now.
Right. Not only that, not only did they do it in the run game, but I thought they did it in the passing game. And I think, you know, our play action pass allows us to move that pocket and allow Brian Hoyer to, again, move out of the protected pocket within the hashes per se. You know, and we recreate that pocket, and Jacksonville athletically did an amazing job of collapsing that pocket as well. So it forced Brian Hoyer, as he talked in his comments, and we know of him, it's, you know, making that decision a little faster than he would have liked, mm-hmm. you know, and not because he knew he was going to take a hit, or opening a window, you know, with a little bit more movement, or also, as we heard a caller say, is, you know, take 4 or 5 yards, you know, of open grass as well. So I really do feel, but that being said, this Oakland Raiders football team is not that Jacksonville Jaguar front. So we've identified those problems, you know, we've had against Jacksonville, because we know we will see it again, but we've identified how can we take advantage of, you know, the extreme experience and, well, I'll say, elderly front that makes up the Oakland Raiders front when it comes to the NFL. And Nathan and I talked about it earlier. You know, there's veteran experience there, but they're over the hill.
Long in the tooth.
And exactly. And we can take advantage of that and exploit it. And it will start first with running the football and continually be the play action there off of it.
We roll on. We swing over East Way, Youngstown, Ohio. Here's Tom on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hello, Tom.
Yep. Good afternoon.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very good, sir. Very good. Hey, I'd like to make a couple quick points.
Please do.
First of all, I would say, give Brian Hoyer a chance. He's thrown 2 interceptions. We had 2 interceptions in the first quarter of the first game last year. So I'm really happy with his production. I think the loss last Sunday was as much a product of the coaching hard-headedness. I would like to see him, when something's not working, try something else. I would have liked to have seen us run several more reverses, or reverse action at least, and took that away, because I saw the other side of the field was wide open on a lot of those plays they were stretching on us. And that's all I have to say. Hey, guys, you're doing a great job.
All right, Tom, we appreciate it. Maddie, Jets,
you cringed.
Jets.
you cringed when he said the reverse.
Not against that defense.
No, not against that defense. And a lot of the reason, that might be something we can do in the future or spotlight it against a different team. But that is such an athletic group that can run you down, that if not run exactly perfectly, which we've seen before, you know, with pitches, you know, between Hoyer and Hawkins on a reverse where, you know, it just allows them to break stride just enough to not maintain that speed where we can't outrun a defense. And when those do go wrong, when they do go right, you know, they can do great. But when they go wrong, and I think they're kind of a 50-50, they're really just not just okay, is that puts us in 2nd and 14, 2nd and 12, you know, and our backs are up against the wall when we're, again, forcing Brian Hoyer and forcing our hand against that defense.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, the big play that you thought, even still at down 10-6 and out of deep arrow territory, that deep crossing route that Hoyer threw his best ball of the day. I mean, the ball placement was there in stride. To Andrew Hawkins, catch, yak, 65 yards. Okay, 10-6. This will be great. Shows that football team on the rise, playing poorly, going to find a way to win. Playing poorly and find a way to win. And then the next, you try to go back to the zone read, the stretch play, -4. Then the sack for -8, and you're looking at 3rd and 22, just when you think that you caught a spark. You know, so, I mean, that was the type of day it was.
Exactly. And again, there's blame. In everything that you just said, when everybody wants to point the finger at Brian Hoyer, there is blame to go around from the play caller to the executor.
Yeah, no question. Let's swing over to Shaker. Stay here around the big league city of Cleveland. Here's Demos on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hi, young man. How you doing?
Great. So my take this year as a season ticket holder watching the games, watching this one on TV this past week, was that you know, a couple callers touched on it, but I think that Pettine and staff are clearly suffering from a little rookie coaching activity, because I felt that both the Ravens game and this weekend that they were out-coached, although the Ravens, it was like he was out-coached, but this weekend they kind of tripped themselves up being a little too tricky. The fourth down, you know, and honestly, the punting return game, we've got to address. We've got to make some changes there, because over the last few games, that's killed us.
You're right, and I think that is something that will only come in experience, and that is, again, a lot of what's been wrong with the Cleveland Browns organization. How many first head coaches have we had? You know, Shermer, Chudzinski,
yes,
and now Pettine, you know,
yeah,
3 in a row,
yeah,
and even Mangini before.
That's right.
As first-time head coaches. So it's something that we're going to have to just continue to handle. It's something that will take game experience and those screw-ups, you know, albeit screw-ups, I mean, a hard, long lesson for us to learn, And all you can do is, the one thing that I've been a part of is experienced staffs that have, you know, coaches on staff that have been head coaches or coordinators other places to shed light in certain situations in a game that can help you as a rookie head coach.
Yeah, I mean, as much as you say it doesn't factor in or don't want to talk about it or, you know, say, well, that's ancient history, the fact is, going back to 2009 with Eric Mangini, this is 6 years now, the sixth year, fourth head football coach. Fourth head football coach with different system, different philosophy, different staffs, and a different way of doing things, but trying to all do the same thing, lay a foundation down that's going to sustain winning.
Right.
And to this point, we haven't seen it.
Exactly. And also, too, is not only just the head coach, but to go above him one level, that's Ray Farmer, and that's give him a locker room full of competitors. And that's what I feel that we've had. We've done it through the draft. We've done it in free agency. And we'll continue to do that because they, again, to make your point, Reg, they want to win.
Yeah,
this is not a developmental football. This is not a developmental mentality. Now, the Raiders, on the other hand, may have a more of a developmental mentality.
They're hungry
for a win, but they kind of are what they are. We want to win, and we want to make a splash in the AFC North.
Yeah, guys, can't stress that strongly enough. And even if that's your homework assignment for tomorrow, just ask you to think about it. Just ask you to think about it, and Matt and I and Nathan will be back, and we'll get into it more tomorrow. This isn't about developing a football team right now. If that were the case, you'd have – and not just Johnny Manziel. Think about this. You'd have Justin Gilbert playing almost every snap on that corner. You would have Terrence West playing a lot more than he is, and Isaiah Crowell a lot more than he is. I mean, you know, Batonio had the great need there, no question about it.
Sure.
Had the big glaring hole need there, and he was drafted to do that. And he's done that. But really, if you're talking about being a developmental year and that this is a rebuild, no. No, if it was, all those guys would be playing 95% of the snaps.
You're right about that.
Yeah. So,
very right.
All right, we get to continue that discussion tomorrow. All that have joined in, we appreciate it. For Matt Wilhelm and Nathan Zagura, for our producer, Emmett Golden, our coordinated producer,
Petrak.
Jason Gibbs. Can't forget my man, Scotty Petrak. Do you guys have anybody on the first hour of the show that I missed?
No, I don't believe we did. No.
Just you and Nathan laying it out there,
laying
baby.
Laying it out.
Laying
a lot
it
of
out
calls,
strong.
A lot of tweets. Very active show today, Browns Nation, and we appreciate it.
Bringing it strong. We'll do it again tomorrow. Again, Matt, Nathan, yours truly tomorrow from 1 to 3. Enjoy the Golden Boys with the aforementioned Emmett Golden, Aaron Goldhammer, coming up right here on ESPN 850 WKNR in Cleveland, Ohio. Great to have you with us, everybody, today. Look for you again tomorrow, Browns Nation. Till then, so long.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.